Welcome to the Bible Tribe. I'm Denise Pass with Seeing Deep Ministries, where we see deep in a shallow world and overcome the battles of the mind with the Word of God. You guys, I have missed y'all as I've taken a two-week break that was necessary for work on my dissertation and speaking at different conferences. But I am circling back to summarize the 2 weeks I've missed because I just don't want to miss what we can learn about God in these different readings that we've done. So the reading from week 8, which included Genesis 29 through 32, Judges 6 through 10, Isaiah 43 through 49, Psalm 16 through 18, Job 15 through 16, and Matthew 21 through 23, and 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, conveys the beautiful character of our God, who we can trust. The character of God has so clearly been demonstrated in Scripture that it should be enough for us to believe in Him. But we struggle with unbelief in the face of trials. This week's reading reminds us that God does see and He is trustworthy while we wait to see what God will do with the injustice that we suffer in this world. Perhaps our hearts are revealed. Do we want God's deliverance so that the one who harmed us will suffer? That's not the heart of God. God wants to deliver us and our enemies. Or do we want God's deliverance so we do not have to suffer? God chose to suffer for our ultimate good. God's purposes are not our purposes. Our motivations can impact how we view God, but God does not think like we do. The heart of God is perfect, compassionate, kind, holy, and good. God is the lover of our souls, our friend, our advocate, and our ever-present help in times of need. This week, we see God's heart toward His people and the doubting hearts of His people, often not trusting in God, despite there being no reason not to. The circumstances of life reveal how much we trust in God's character or not. In Genesis, we saw God's compassion. God is a God who sees the lonely and the unloved. To Leah, who did not ask to be a part of a love triangle, He saw that she was unloved. Genesis 29 through verse 33 says, "She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. She named him Simeon, for she said, 'The Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son.'" It is interesting that she named her children from her place of suffering as a testimony of what God had done. Yet sometimes Leah's perception led her astray in understanding God's heart and character. Leah assumed that God was rewarding her for giving her servant to Jacob to bear children. We see this in Genesis 30, verse 18. "God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband." So she named him Issachar, which literally means "there is a reward" or "man of reward." But the irony is, this is not God's way of thinking. Despite our mishaps, God still loves us and sees us. Rachel and Leah went back and forth naming their sons as a triumph over one another. But God was not part of that competition. God loved them both and gave them children. But how beautiful it would have been if they had seen themselves as servants of the living God in the rotten situation they were in because of their dad that they did not ask for, and if they had seen that their worth never came from how many children they bore. It came from God. And the lie of the culture says you have to do certain things to be valued. We can religiously try to pull God into our scheme, but He's high above our thoughts. Ascribing to God what we think He is doing is dangerous ground and is an attempt to condone our actions. It is a misunderstanding of the heart of God. We cause our own suffering, or others do for us, but God's redemption is often through our messes, not around them. And this is hard. But if we have God's heart and purposes in mind and not ours, we trust that He knows what He is doing and weaves even our sinful mistakes into purposes far beyond our own reasoning. The answer to feeling unloved is to choose to live loved with the love God lavishes on us. No one else would die for us and choose us despite our waywardness, but God did and does. His heart is for us in all our circumstances. But that does not mean He will remove us from our circumstances. His presence is our comfort at all times. In the book of Judges, the heart of God is seen as a friend toward his people. I like the NET translation of Judges 6, verse 24. Gideon built an altar for the Lord there and named it, "The Lord is on friendly terms with me." Do you believe God is on friendly terms with you? How do you base your perception of God? If we look at the works of Christ on our behalf, we see that Christ's sacrifice was to reconcile us to God, have us on friendly terms with the God of this universe. We are like Gideon and wanting God to prove himself to us, but he already has. Again and again, his character is flawless. He cannot lie and is incapable of breaking promises to his people. This is the heart of God. In Isaiah, we see the heart of God as holy and loving, as our Lord is our protector and redeemer in Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. He's always been there for us, a constant support. It says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west." God was not good because he did not allow troubles. He was good because he stays with us through those troubles. He said, "When you pass through the waters and when you walk through the fire, I will be with you." Notice a few verses down that we who have seen the heart of God should then believe in God and help others around us to believe in Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 13. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" If we do not understand God's heart, how can we be his witnesses? So often we are shocked at life's harshness that we turn that into an accusation and doubt against God, rather than being a witness of God's faithfulness in life's storms, so the world can have the hope that we are supposed to have. The heart of God is to protect us, even though we will encounter troubles in this world. The psalmist shows us that God's heart is a safe place. Psalm 16, 1 through 2 NIV says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Psalm 16, 8 through 9 NET translation says, "I constantly trust in the Lord. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So my heart rejoices and my life is safe." In the book of Job, we see that Job's heart doubted the heart of God and his character. This is where confusion sets in. God's character needs to be our true north and his perfect word, so we are not shaken in life's storms. Job felt abandoned, but feelings are not facts. God never leaves or forsakes those who are his. But despite Job's battles, he remembers that God is our advocate. God is for us in Job 16, 19 through 21. "Even now my witness is in heaven, my advocate is on high, my intercessor is my friend, as my eyes pour out tears to God. And he contends with God on behalf of man, as a man pleads for his friend." He's our friend. These verses were my hope when I was thrust into court after the revelation of my ex-husband's sexual sin. I was broken and did not know how to function in the trauma I was going through. My Bible reading plan that day had these verses in Job that reminded me that God was my advocate on the very first day of court. I did not know court would last for 5 years, but God was with me through it all. In Matthew, we see that it is deception in our own hearts that robs us of understanding God's heart and his goodness and faithfulness. We are no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When we expect God to think as we do or do what we want him to do, Matthew 22:29 reminds us that we must be in God's word and believe what God has said. Jesus answered them, "You are deceived because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God." God is not in a box of our own making, and his character is not subject to our perception. His heart is that we wouldn't have his heart. 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 16 shows us that we can. For who among men knows the things of a man except the man's spirit within him? So too, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. And we speak about these things, not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him? But we have the mind of Christ. How is it that sinful man can have the heart of God? Because our God loves us so much, he showed us how to think and love. Then he demonstrated it. Then he went one step further and gave us his spirit within us so we could also have a heart like his. Unfathomable. Friends, life is hard. We can struggle in so many ways. Let the heart of God be the hope you held onto. Believe in his character and lay down the control that you think you have. Hope in his promises and don't let life's harsh realities rob you of this hope. Your God is faithful and will never let you down, even though this life and people will. Go with God, friends. Have a great week in Christ and share the love and heart of God and his promises with others so they can have the hope you have. Demonstrate the heart of God for them when everything in your life is going crazy around you and it seems impossible to do so. This is being the witness God calls us to be in the good and in the hard, keeping our love on like God does and refusing to let unbelief cloud our vision of a perfect God.